Today is the fourth Sunday of Advent, and the focus is on the love of God. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity just to soak in your love and to have a deeper revelation and understanding about the love of God. And we thank you for that, Lord. We've heard the phrase so many times that God loves it. But I pray, Lord, that it becomes real to us, Lord, that we experience your love. We feel your love in our hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. I hope you were able to download your message outline. And we're going to have it on the screen. So welcome to everyone that's listening. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with all of you. Smile at someone. Yeah, it's good to be here. It's good to be here in the house of the Lord. So, Jesus gave a new commandment in the New Testament. And so let's read it together. John 13:34-35 says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." I think I learned that in another translation. Okay, so we see from the scripture a new commandment. Okay, tell your neighbor this is not a suggestion. It's like we don't get to decide or choose whether or not we're going to love. Jesus commanded us to love. And he said, "By this, all will know you are my disciples." The "this" that the scripture's talking about is if you love one another. And this is an agape love. It's to love in a social or moral sense. An agape love is unconcerned with self. It's not concerned with being self-seeking, but it's concerned with the greatest good for everyone. And this is something that actually in our maturity process, we mature into realizing there are more people in the world than we are. I remember Pastor Leonard and I, when we taught the 2- and 3-year-olds, they really believed the whole world rotated around each one of them. And some people never outgrow that. Hallelujah. But actually, in your teenage years, you begin to realize that there are other people involved in situations. Just a common, ordinary thing would be when you're serving a meal and the family is there, and there's more than just one person that's going to be partaking of that meal, you look to see how much mashed potatoes you should actually take. And you look to see how much meat you should take. And of course, if you have Pastor Leonard around, he will tell you how much you can have. And anyone that's went camping with him knows that he portions out food for everybody. But it is something that you... And see, he came from a big family, 8 children. And so that's a lot of kids to feed, right? And so when you're at the table, you get your portion. But anyway, it's just a thought that as we grow and mature, we begin to recognize there are other people around us. And when we receive salvation and we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we realize there is a new commandment and that it goes beyond just our family. It goes beyond our circumstances and the bubble that we live in. But God connects us in a family and he commands us to love one another, to be concerned with one another, and to make sure that needs are provided within the family of God. So agape is not that agape love is not emotional, and it's not a familiarity, but it's from the will. It's a choice. It's a choice. Let's go on. I have lots of notes on agape love, but recognizing that it is commanded, that we love one another. And so if it's a commandment, then if we don't love one another, we're being disobedient. You see, people with this kind of love are willing to lay down their life for a friend. Remember, Jesus said, no greater love is this than a man would lay down his life for a friend. Well, we often think laying down our life would be dying for someone. In reality, we die continually when we give of ourselves and we're not self-seeking and we're not self-ambitious and we're not just looking out for me, myself, and I. That is a dying of the flesh. It's a dying of the will. And so there's no greater love than if you're willing to give of yourself to someone else. Roxanne and I were talking this week about people that we've met that don't want to go to church because they have had a bad experience with church people. And they love God, and they love His Word, but they're like, I don't want anything to do with church. Now, that is not the way God intended for it to be. Jesus loved the church so much that He gave His life for the church. And so the church should be a representation of Jesus Christ in the earth. And when you have the love of God, when you have an agape love, there's something that attracts people to you. They want to be with you. They don't run from you. So my question would be, what kind of an impression does River of Life Church give to people in our public, people in our cities? When people meet you, you're a representation of the River of Life Church. What is it that they think of you? Let's go on. Like I said, love is a decision. Let's read Psalm 18:1. The scripture says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. So have you made that decision? This love comes from our innermost being. It's not an emotional decision. It is a choice of your will. We see the psalmist David said, I will love you. And this particular word in the Hebrew, love, is used many times in the scripture. Sometimes it's translated mercy, sometimes compassion. Sometimes pity, sometimes love. But it means to love deeply, to have mercy, to be compassionate, to have tender affection. So it is in the depths of your spirit. Often when we're moved by something, we're moved by in the depths of our being, not necessarily from our heart, but this love is from our innermost being. It's this gut feeling that you have. You know, when the Lord gave us dominion over the earth, He gave us dominion over animals. And often when an animal's in trouble or it's hurt, you get this feeling you just want to help that animal. When a child is being hurt or needs help, come on, moms, you get that feeling. You're ready to help that child, whether that child is yours or not. when someone is in danger, like a car accident or something, people, men are really quick to stop. Pull people out of burning cars. There is something in the depths of us that wants to help. And when we do not see that, and we have seen how our society has become cold, and they have become cruel, and they have been walked right away from people who are crying, asking for help, and they just walk right on by. We've seen that develop over the last 10 years, just cold-hearted people. Well, that is a sure sign they do not know God, and they are not born again. Because if you know God and you're born again, you have a desire to help someone. Hallelujah. What is that next scripture up there? Oh, Proverbs 27. Let's read it together. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. Search us, Lord. Search us today. In Jesus' name. Let's go on. Corporate love. 1 John 4:7-8. The scripture says, let's read it together. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Beloved, let us. So this is a corporate word. Jesus is speaking. He's giving us a corporate word that we love one another. And everyone who loves God is born of God. Born again. And the scripture says, by the incorruptible word of God, we are born again. So it clearly states, if you don't love, you don't know God. So when you see people who love, you see that demonstration of love in their life, you know they know God and they're born of God. And so often we wonder why people act the way they do when they act so contrary to what we would expect someone to say or do. They commit crimes, they burn buildings, they destroy things. We saw that with the riots this year. It was horrible. There's this, you know, I don't know about you, but from my gut there was this feeling when I would see people be so disrespectful. Someone had given their life to build those businesses, and they had no regard whatsoever for the years and even generations of labor that had gone into all of this work, and they just wreaked havoc in the cities. This is a group of people who do not know God. And yes, they need prayer, but they also need truth and justice, because some people will not change unless they face the consequences. And when you have a judicial system, or you have people within politics that make excuses for them and don't charge them with the crimes, but there's a reason for why they did it, you're just creating chaos and destruction. And what they really need is a come to Jesus meeting. It'd be great within the prison system if there was, and there is in some of them, just the teaching of the gospel. So many people get saved in prison. Maybe they need a prison term to get saved in prison. Hallelujah. And there are many people that have given that testimony. It was in jail they met Jesus, and they came out of that. And so when we stop the consequences that need to happen in someone's life and make excuses for their behavior, number one, we're codependent. And number two, we are interfering with the hand of God. And God knows a plan for the person. Some people have to just go to rock bottom before they will turn around. But God knows that. And we pray for them every step of the way. And that is love. People are confused today over what love is. When you want the best good for someone, you're going to pray for them that the will of God is accomplished in their life. And sometimes what we would think is the will of God is not something that's all fluffy and everything's wonderful. And God corrects all their problems and takes away everything so that they don't have a care in the world. That is not how it works, church. God loves us so much that he disciplines us. And God never gives up on someone. Even those that are not born again, that are unregenerate, God will not give up on them. And so we don't give up on them either, but we cannot interfere with what God wants to do in their life. And sometimes it hurts to watch that. It hurts to watch that. But yet, if God is in it, we can't rescue people. God is the rescuer. Hallelujah. We are going to help people, support people, undergird people, encourage people, pray for people. But we cannot stop the consequences that are coming into their life. And remember, church, we have been praying for evil to be exposed, for any deception to be exposed in our elections, for any fraud to be exposed. We have been praying, expose, expose, expose. Well, I want to encourage you that judgment begins in the house of God. And God will expose. When we begin to pray, let the deception be exposed. Well, don't just look at the world and look at the government and at the world system. You need to be looking at the church too, because God will expose, because God said, I will have a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. The only thing that can wash us is the blood of Jesus. And so we need to recognize we will get what we pray for, but sometimes it doesn't look the way that we thought it would. Hallelujah. But God answers prayer. And we want God to cleanse us and purify us. And that's our next scripture here. 1 Peter 1:22 to 23. Let's read it together. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. So what purifies your soul? What did that scripture say? Obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. Would you go back to that scripture? I need to go back to it too. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. That's the key right there. We want purification. We want to walk pure before God. Then we cannot walk in disobedience. I know there are people listening today that God has been talking to you. He's been speaking to you about making some changes in your life, and you keep avoiding God. It's time to surrender. It's time to surrender and obey. That is the whole purification process. It is yielding to the will of God. It is saying, not my will, but thine be done. We saw Jesus do this in the earth. When he came to the earth, he demonstrated God's love, the love of the Father. He was obedient to his Father every step of the way. He yielded what he wanted, what he desired. And you know there were other things going on in the inside of him. There was no sin in him, but he was born of flesh and blood. I believe he experienced more than what we think. Struggles in life. It says that he was tempted in every way, just like you. So think about all the temptations you have had in your life. Jesus experienced all of those. And we've had plenty. Have you had plenty? Yeah, the devil is always tempting us. And our own flesh, our own desires, get us in the most trouble. Devil doesn't have anything to do with that. That's us. That's our soul. That's why we need our soul purified. It's purified by the Word of God, by obeying the truth. And there's a way to do that. It's through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren. You see, we can't get away from the brethren. We can't get away from being with people. Some people just want to isolate, break relationships, not get involved. I'm not going to be with people anymore. That doesn't work. We talked last week about relationships. God is a relational God from the beginning to the end of the scripture. It is all about relationship. It is about learning to live together, to accomplish God's will together. It's not about your ministry, about what you are called to do. It is about what we are called to do collectively, and then your gift fits into that, and God uses you. I think one of the greatest sins in the church is the self-ambition. That it's all about me. But the prayer is, God, how do I fit in? How do I fit in with the body of Christ and what you are doing to accomplish your will, your corporate love working together? So let's go on. My soul is purified when I obey the truth through the Spirit. In sincere love, can't leave that out for the brethren. Do you sincerely love? The scripture also used the word fervent, which means intently without ceasing. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. So it's intent. Our intent is to love. You know, many times something happens and we'll think the worst of that person. Or somebody's been gossiping to us about that person, told us something about that person, and then all of a sudden right there we are thinking, oh, that must really be true about that person. Has that ever happened to you? You see, people will plant weed seeds into your life. We call them weed seeds around here. They're weed seeds. They are not God seeds. They're weed seeds. They'll plant a weed seed in your life, into your mind about a person, and then something happens, and you will interpret it based upon the word, the weed seed that's been planted in, excuse me, that's my hair, planted in your mind. It just, all of a sudden, it sprouts. There it is. It just suddenly comes to pass. And then you begin to think about that weed seed. You see, we have to be careful what goes into our mind. Be careful what you listen to. We are to be born again by the Spirit of God. Most of the time, people identify that term with evangelical Christians. But according to the scripture, it's easy to identify those who are born again by the love they have one for another, whatever denomination they belong to. We're going to go to our next slide, and we just have a couple things here. We're going to talk about the perfect and the royal law. Let's read about this in James 1:25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. If you really fulfill, Let's see, it doesn't go on. Hold on. I can read that point. The perfect law of liberty is if you make up your mind to love someone, no one can stop you from loving them. No one. There isn't a law legislated. Nothing can stop you from loving them. If you make up your mind, you are going to love someone. Nothing can stop you. And that is why it is called the perfect law of liberty. We are free to love. And the person who is totally free is the person that loves. Hate will keep you in bondage. It's like chains around you. Love, choosing to love, will set you free. Unforgiveness will keep you in bondage. And then the scripture talks about the royal law. So let's read 2:8. If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. When Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? He said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. It's the royal law of the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. No one can stop you from loving. And the perfect example of that is Jesus. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They pierced his hands. They beat him. They pierced his feet. They gave him vinegar to drink. But they could not stop him from loving. And if you love with that kind of love, nothing can stop you. Let's go on. Jesus was moved with compassion. Remember, this word love is also translated compassion. Mark 1:40-42. Let's read it together. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. This word compassion means to have a feeling of sympathy that comes from your bowels. From your innermost being. The King James Version talks about the bowels of compassion. It's from that innermost part of you. Love, fear, hate, it starts in the innermost part of you. And going back to Psalm 18, the psalmist said, I will love you. And that is the same concept we're talking about here. Jesus said, I am willing. I am moved with compassion to help this person. I love this person. I want the best good for them. You see, this love we're talking about is a love that wants the best for everyone. Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, We've got to recognize, church, that the media is constantly playing one against the other. If you listen to the left side's broadcast, they're pitting them against the right. If you listen to the right side, they're pitting them against the left. And they're using the same terminology, using the same lies. They're just switching who they're talking about. We've got to be wise. There's so much deception in the media. Lord, teach us the truth. It's better just to turn it off than to listen to it. I get on just to hear what they're saying, and I like to listen to both sides. That's part of learning conflict resolution. You know, it's part of my training. You listen to both sides. And it's just so interesting when you listen to both sides, because they're really saying the same thing about the opposite party. They're accusing them of doing the same thing that the other side's accusing them of. It's so twisted. It's so confusing. You know, if you're not able to divide, you know, the scripture says we've got to be able to divide truth. We've got to be able to divide the word of truth. And that's talking about the scripture and studying the scripture and learn how to divide it. Well, there's other places we're going to have to use that with the spirit of discernment and the knowledge that we have. You know, people perish for lack of knowledge. The scripture says without vision, people perish. We've got to keep in our heart, in our spirit, the word of God and what God's will is. God's will is going to come to pass because we are praying it. And you know, sometimes God's will does not look the way we want it to look, or it doesn't turn out how we thought it should. But as long as God has orchestrated his will, then it's up to us to surrender, to yield to, and get behind what the Spirit of God is doing and keep going. There's not going to be a break in spiritual warfare. We're not going to get a time out and a time of rest. We have to be good soldiers and learn how to fight and learn how to rest our soul and learn how to pray God's will into the earth. It is about what God wants. It is not about what we want. And so remember also, we prophesy in part, we see in part. And so the only one who knows the end from the beginning is God. And God takes us on a journey. I'm sure many of you have been on a journey in your life, and God continues to bring revelation to you. He continues to teach you. He continues to enlighten you. And our responsibility is to say, God, how do I use this for the kingdom of God and to bless the church, to bless the body of Christ, to bring strength and stability into the lives of people as we gather the family of God, and as those come in that are lost, that are in the harvest. It's our responsibility to go out and to get them and to bring them in. Laborers in the harvest. We are called to be laborers for Jesus Christ. Wherever we're at, whatever opportunity we have, Lord, help us to see. Scripture, let's read our next scripture. John 7:38 says, he who believes in me, as the Spirit has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Out of our innermost being comes the living water of God that is refreshing, that attracts people. We've all got it. Are we using it? We like to come in and use it on each other. Well, we've all got it, right? All right, we need to use it on people who don't have it. Water will wash you. Rivers of living water. It's that river of living water that cleans up messes in the marketplace. Releasing God's river. Hallelujah. How do you do that? Well, you look for the opportunity and then you speak, right? It's rivers of living water in you. So even just your presence brings living, something that's living into death situations. That living water. You might not get to say too much, but you don't have to preach a message. Bishop always says it's not the length of the word, it's the strength of the word. Rivers of living water flowing from our innermost being. Moved with compassion. So one of my questions would be, what prompts you to do the things that you do? And why do you relate to people? Is it because you love or because you can get some benefit from it? Those are questions to ask ourselves. Are you willing to help those who can give you absolutely nothing in return? That's what the Lord asked us when we planted this church over 25 years ago. Are you willing to give and serve those who are not able to give anything back to you? Our answer was yes. Lord, whoever you bring through the doors, we will love and serve. We didn't get to pick our own children. God put that soul inside of us. And you know what? You don't get to pick your family of God either. God knows who your brothers and sisters are. He knows what family you belong in. And sometimes you get uncomfortable with that family. Come on, let's talk about our own natural family. Sometimes it's just uncomfortable. You just want to get away from them. It's like, oh my God, are these really my family? But the Lord decides. And so we stick and stay. And are you willing to give to those who can give you absolutely nothing in return? I was so thrilled, and church, just so you know this, you know, working in children's ministries for years, working in the Love in Action, we gave, and did not expect anything in return. And this last week, the Revive kids were here, and they're a group of children that are picked up and brought here on Tuesday night, and they're from Marion Street and Harrison. And there's a group of adults from several different churches that work with this group of children, and they've used our building for the last 3 years every Tuesday night. And they serve them the meal, they mentor them, they have worship, and it's just a beautiful experience. And I get so excited because we haven't had anyone here in the church that's really interested in reaching out into the neighborhoods and picking up children and being that. And that's what we did for years. And I was on my face crying out, Lord, I know you birthed this ministry to serve children, and we don't have people that are willing to get out and do that ministry at this time. So Lord, our building is open. Send someone with children into this building, Lord, to fulfill what you've called us to do. And God connected me. It was just a supernatural connection with the woman that runs this ministry. And they started, she said they'd gotten kicked out of two churches. And that they were really struggling because they had no place to take the children. And I go, well, I know all about that. You know, it's pretty easy to kick out those kids because it's just like, you know, they're not saved. They come from rough neighborhoods and they don't know any difference when they come into the church. But church people get all that. And that's why people say, I had a bad experience with church and I never want to go back. So they started coming on Tuesday nights. I said, well, you can use our building. Talk to the board of directors. And, you know, we want to serve. We are here to serve. If no one else is going to use this building, Lord, send in other ministries to use this building. We have a big building. There are so many works that could be going on here. Lord, send them in. And so Brenda started bringing the children and that whole group, and I got to know them well. And this is their third year here. And they gave me a Christmas card Tuesday, and it was to the River of Life, and they all signed it and said, thank you for letting us have church here. And they had a $100 bill in there. So that really blessed my heart. And I know Brenda probably gave it. It was not from the kids. They don't have that kind of money. But I'm sure they were like so excited that their leader had a $100 bill to give to the church and a card for them to sign, you know? Because they're so appreciative. When they first started coming here, they would, like every week, they'd come up to me and say, Pastor Janet, thank you for letting us be here. We got kicked out of so many places. And that really struck their heart. But you see, that's love. Yeah, they might break things. Yes, they make messes. But so do you. You can have a clean stall. You can have everything perfect in your building. And what good is that if there are no people in it? It's like, I don't get upset about coffee spill or this is broke or that is broke. It's like, okay, well, praise God. There's people in the house. There's cattle in the stall. It's getting messed up. Hallelujah. That's part of ministering and serving one another. You all know how messy your house gets, right? Nancy, Bright? Those girls can like, woo, I know. It's like all you do is clean and pick up. But hallelujah, that's giving. That's that sacrifice. And it never stops. It never stops. And the more faithful you are in it, the bigger opportunities God gives to you to serve, to give. If He can trust you with it, He's going to give it to you. So praise God for His love and what He's doing in our lives right here at River of Life. Hallelujah. So the same love, I think this is my last scripture. Almost. There's so much about love, we could never even begin to cover it. But let's talk about the same love. Philippians 2, 1 to 4. Let's read it. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. We're to look out for the interest of others. So what is motivating you? Our last scripture. The love of God is never ending. I'm so thankful. It doesn't run out because you've made so many messes, so many mistakes. It just doesn't run out. Let's read Jeremiah 31:3. Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you that there is no shortage of your love and your loving kindness towards us. Lord, I thank you that every person listening today is being drawn by your love. Lord, that you love us with an everlasting love. Lord, that you were willing to give all that you had so that we could receive salvation. Lord, thank you for this great salvation today. And God, I pray that we can love one another with your divine love. Lord, that we fulfill the perfect law of liberty and we fulfill the royal law of God. That we love one another, that we love you, that we put you first, Lord, and that we honor and respect, Lord. Let respect return, Lord God, to our households, Lord. Let respect return, O God, to our nation. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the love that you release to us today and a deeper understanding and revelation of how we are to walk in your love and demonstrate your love. And Lord, I thank you that we partner with you, that we work with you, Father God, to fulfill your will in the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a shout of praise this morning. His love is so rich, so pure. You know, and the scripture says that we can only experience that together. To understand how deep it is, how high it is, how wide it is. We experience that together by how God moves in each of our lives. We thank him. He's answered so many prayers this year. We've enjoyed praying on Zoom together and praying prayer requests. And praise God, he's moving, continues to move and answer prayer. And next Sunday, just so you know, next Sunday we're going to have a time of prayer, intercession. And the leaders are praying for a word from the Lord for River of Life. For the year, and we do this every year. Sometimes we don't do it publicly, but getting the heart and mind of God for this coming year, for our assembly, and for his desires for us, and just some direction for this territory. This is where we're assigned to make a difference in the Michiana area, and so all of us have a part in that. And so next Sunday, we'll be having a time of prayer. There are some intercessors that will pray, and the elders are going to share a word. And Lori Boyd is coming. Some of you remember Lori. She plays piano, and so she'll be playing music, have some background music while we're praying and interceding and releasing the word of the Lord. So just be in prayer this week for that service, and I'm looking forward to it. We're not praying for America. We're not praying for the nation. We're praying for our assignment. You know, the Lord says that you have to take care of your stuff at home first, right? And we've been praying for many nights for America. So we are covering that. But Sunday, the focus is to pray for the River of Life family, God's heart and vision for what is coming. And so we're looking forward to what the Spirit of the Lord reveals to us next Sunday morning through our leaders.